Only one time in the entire Bible, as far as I know, is the word coffin used. It was used in the last verse of the book of Genesis concerning the good man Joseph. Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was buried in a coffin in Egypt. Now let's face one thing tonight. Let's be realistic. We don't like to think about this. And none of us likes to even see a coffin. This coffin certainly didn't add a great delight and joy to this service when it was rolled in tonight. Why don't we just face something, though, for a minute? If Jesus doesn't come in your lifetime, your body is going to be in one of these things. Now, I see folks at funeral services all time to time, Brother John, I know, who conducts more funeral services than I even. We see people coming by and they're not prepared to meet God, they're not saved, not living for God. And we see them as they take one quick glance toward the remains, and then quickly look away or shake their heads and try to get their minds off of the stark reality that they too, one day, will have their bodies in such a coffin. Only one time is a coffin mentioned in the Bible. However, it is very, very interesting to me that when the original word in the original language for coffin means more than just coffin. It also means hope chest. Hope chest. So we could read the last verse in Genesis like this. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Or we could read it like this. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a hope chest in Egypt. Now, you decide. Either this box for you will be a coffin or a hope chest. Now, the first question is, what is a hope chest? Do they still have a hope chest? Anybody, any of you single girls have a hope chest? Raise your hand. Better still, do you have any hope? Have any hope? Okay. I recall one day when my sister came home and she was about 17 years of age. Far too young, but this is the truth. And she was so happy. She said, "Guess what? He proposed to me." I'll never forget it. I was 8 years younger than she, still am. And 8 years younger than she. Now, I'll never forget how happy I was that she was leaving. I'd had all I wanted of her anyhow. We were very poor people. We had what we called a cedar chest. That cedar chest was where we kept the cover. During the summertime, we kept the quilts, blankets, and so forth in the cedar chest. And my sister persuaded my mother into letting her use that cedar chest for a hope chest. She put a lock on the cedar chest. We took out all the cover. It was her hope chest. Every week, she made $12 a week working for Pollock Paper Company. Every week, she'd come home on Saturday after having purchased something with a part of her paycheck to put in the hope chest. One week, it might be a set of towels that she had put in the hope chest, something she had purchased for her coming marriage. And the next week she'd come in and she'd be excited again and she'd have with her maybe some bed clothing, sheets, or blankets. And she'd put that in the hope chest. I always wanted to look in the hope chest. In fact, she told me many times, she gave me orders and commands and threats on my life. That's why I was hoping she'd leave. That I was not to mess with the hope chest. I always wondered, what kind of a stupid idiot would it be to want to marry my sister anyhow? But she came home week after week. 1 week, she'd come home. Maybe she'd have a blanket. And she'd put the blanket. I'm not going to kill the fellow that's in there if I don't watch out. She'd put the blanket in the hope chest. Now, I want you to notice this. God very carefully uses the word coffin only one time. And he chooses to use a word that can mean exactly what my sister had, or a coffin. Now, it's as simple as this. If tonight you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you will never, never, never be in a coffin. Never. I don't plan to get buried in a coffin, bless God. I plan to get buried in a hope chest. If you have not been saved, if you have not been saved, if you have not been saved, you'll be buried in a coffin. The choice is yours. All those dear loved ones we've laid in the graves, all of this area through these years, these faithful members of our church, they're not buried in coffins, thank God. They're buried in hope chests. Bertie Fields is not buried in a coffin tonight. He's buried in a hope chest. Leonard Tudor's not buried in a coffin tonight. He's buried in a hope chest. Mrs. Fredley's not buried in a coffin tonight. She's buried in a hope chest. That little baby you laid her to rest is not buried in a coffin tonight. He's buried in a hope chest. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may as well make up your mind. You're going here. If our Lord does not come before you die, your body's going here. They're going to have a service for you. The preacher's going to stand before the people. They're going to roll your body out of the funeral home. They're going to take your body in a hearse, in a casket or coffin like this, out to a cemetery. They're going to have a few weeping people around you. And they're going to put some flowers on your grave. They're going to lower your body in the coffin and in the grave. And the only hope you have to make it a hope chest is Jesus. That's the only hope you have. Take your choice. It's a coffin or a hope chest. The second thing I want you to notice about Joseph's body is something most of us do not realize. And that is Joseph's body did not stay in that coffin. Why? A coffin is permanent, a hope chest is not. Joseph's body did not stay. Let me read you a scripture. You don't need to turn to it, but I'll read it to you. Maybe you've never noticed it. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor. The body of Joseph, bones of Joseph, were brought up out of Egypt. I think our Lord is telling us, letting Joseph in the Bible represent a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. When he was rejected by his brethren, that represents Jesus rejected by his brethren. When he was cast into the pit, that represents Jesus being cast into the pit. When he was sold for 20 pieces of silver, that represents Jesus being sold for 30 pieces of silver. When they drew him up out of the pit, that represents the resurrection of our Lord. When he was raised to the right hand of the king of Egypt, that's a picture of Jesus raised to the right hand of our Heavenly Father. When he fed his brethren who came to Egypt who were in the famine back home, it's a picture of Jesus providing for his own as he tonight sits at the right hand of the Father. So our Lord, in choosing to use Joseph as a type of Jesus, made it in his providential plan so that Joseph's body would not stay in the coffin or hope chest. 360 years after Joseph was buried, Moses went to Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." You recall how that the Passover lamb and the coming of the death angel caused Pharaoh to let the people go. And Moses to lead the people out of bondage toward the promised land. But before they left, they did something. They went to the place where Joseph's coffin was, or Joseph's hope chest was. They dug it up. They brought it out. They took his body out of the coffin. A glorious picture of how that one day every single person who's a born again child of God shall have the lid to his coffin open, and the hope chest shall be open, and we shall rise victoriously from death and the grave. And so Joseph's body did not stay in Egypt, even as yours and mine will not stay in the grave. There's a third thing. The remains of that body of Joseph, the bones of Joseph's body, was carried to Canaan. Ah, that's great, isn't it? Carried to Canaan. When Joseph came out of that hope chest 360 years after he was buried, his body was not left out of the hope chest in Egypt. They carried his body to Canaan. And when the child of God rises to meet Jesus Christ in the air, when the coffin lid opens and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the living shall rise with them to meet the Lord in the air, we shall be with him for 7 glorious years in the sky. We shall come back with him. He shall be King of kings and Lord of lords, and shall ascend the royal stairway of Mount Zion, and shall rule and reign for 1,000 years as King of all the world. At the end of that age, we shall see the kingdom being delivered up to the Father. We shall see the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And we will live in heaven's Canaan forever and ever and ever in our new glorified body. Now you listen to me. What is the difference in a coffin or a hope chest? What is that thing that makes the person come out at the first resurrection? The answer is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Don't turn to it, but listen to it. For if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal body. That's this fleshly body. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal body. This same Spirit which raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Jesus comes with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. The difference is not what church you belong to. The difference is, did you have the Spirit of God in your body when you got buried? When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes in this body to live. Now, when he's buried, that body is still sacred to God. And in a wonderful, preserving sense, the Holy Spirit stays even in that body. When the resurrection comes, those who do not have the Holy Spirit in their bodies will remain. But those who have the Holy Spirit in their bodies will rise in the power of that Holy Spirit. That means if you've never come to the place where you receive Jesus Christ in a personal way as your Savior and have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, that means you cannot rise in the resurrection morning. No way in the world. Why? No Spirit. Doesn't say the Baptists are going to rise. Doesn't say the Catholics are going to rise. There are those. In fact, Jerry Falwell says the Presbyterians are going to rise first. You ask him why, he says, because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Doesn't say that the good folks will rise and the bad folks will stay. Doesn't say the baptized folks will rise and the non-baptized folks will stay. Doesn't say the Christian folks will rise and the non-Christian folks will stay. Doesn't say the confirmed people will rise and the non-confirmed will stay. Doesn't say the sincere people will rise and the non-sincere will stay. It says those who have the Spirit of God in their bodies will rise and the others will stay. Let me ask you a question. Is the Spirit of God in your body? Have you been born again? The fourth thing I'd like to say is this. Joseph's bones and body being taken from that grave or coffin 360 years after he was buried. That was planned by Joseph before he died. Let me read you Hebrews 11 and verse 22. Listen to this. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. 360 years before Joseph died, he looked down in prophecy and saw the deliverance of God's people from the land of bondage and said, take my bones with you when you go. Boy, I like that. He didn't even want his bones left in Egypt. He didn't want his bones left in Egypt. Take my bones. Listen to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25. The same thing is said. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Here's Joseph. He's dying. He calls the elders of Israel to his bedside. He says, I want you to make me a promise. I want you to promise me that in that day when deliverance comes from Egypt and you are delivered from Egyptian slavery, I want you to promise me you'll take my bones with you to the new land. They said, Joseph, we'll make such a promise. Joseph said, make an oath. Swear you'll do it. And they made an oath with Joseph. Now here's what I want you to get. They did not decide to take Joseph's body out of the coffin after he died. Joseph made provisions for that before he died. And so do you. So do you. I saw in the paper the other day, I saw a prayer service. They're going to help the departed soul of some dear fellow who died. Too late. Sorry, too late. Too late. Better pray for him while he's alive. Amen. Brother, you can pray. You can get your beads and count your beads. You can say 100 Holy Mary, Mother of Gods. You can pray and pray and pray. You can talk to Mary and Christopher, St. Christopher, and Jehoshaphat, and everybody up there. But unless you got born again before you died, you are going to hell! You've got to decide. You've got to make up your own mind. Every person whose body rises from the coffin, the whole chest, every one of them, made plans before they died. You've got to decide for yourself. You say, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. You've got to decide for yourself. Amen. You say, they'll pray for me when I die. You've got to decide for yourself. Well, you say, I'm going to go to purgatory and stay there for a while, and they'll pray me out of purgatory. Two things wrong with that. You're not going to purgatory. And the second thing is they couldn't pray you out if you did. Amen. You have to make your own provisions before you die. Next thing I want to say, that is this. When Joseph's body was taken out, they took out exactly what they put in. Same thing. No change. Same. Same thing I put in. No change. Same thing I put in. No change. Don't you expect to live a wicked life and reap rewards when you get to heaven? Don't you expect to live in sin, leave God out of your life, rob God of your offering and tithe, drink your liquor, hold your grudges, have your hatreds? Now bear in mind this. All who are born again will come out of the coffin. It'll be a hope chest. But the rewards that you receive when you stand before Jesus will be exactly what you put in that coffin. I recall that day when my sister came home, for it was her wedding day. She got the key that only she had. And she opened that lock on the old cedar chest. And smiling and happy, she took out what she had put in. For the wedding day had come. My Bible calls God's children the bride. And one of these days, we're going to get married to our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And just before the wedding day, the Holy Spirit, who alone has the key of death, will come to the graves of all those who died in Christ, and the bodies of all the redeemed shall rise to meet Jesus Christ in the air. And brother, you won't fool anybody anymore then. You won't fool anybody. There's nothing going to make you, going to reveal you tonight. If you're not born again, nothing is going to reveal you in this service tonight. If the Holy Spirit of God does not live in your mortal body, we will not find it out tonight unless you tell us. Nobody will make you tell us. Nobody will make you reveal it. But the day is going to come when somebody will make you reveal it. When your body lies still in the coffin, when our hope chests are opening and our bodies are rising to meet Jesus in the air, then your performance is over. Did you know the word hypocrite in the Greek means actor? Performer. Actor. Acting like something you're not. Professing something you don't have. Talking about something you don't possess. Saying you're saved, but you're not. Saying you've been born again, but you're not born again. But when the graves are open, the curtain is pulled, and the last scene is over. And you can take your bow then, because you made your last performance. I'll ask you a question. You're going to have a coffin or a hope chest? Huh? A coffin or a hope chest? It's your decision. I can't make it for you. I can baptize you till you wrinkle like a peach, but I can't make it for you. I can serve you communion till you're drunk and wobble and are so full you can't button your trousers, but I can't make your decision for you. I can pray for you till I lose my voice, but I can't make your decision for you, just as Joseph had to make the decision about his bones coming out of the grave when the Israelites left Egypt. You've got to make your decision about your coming out of the grave when we leave this Egypt and rise to go to Canaan's land. Now, I'm going to rise. I'm not going to get buried in a coffin. I'm going to get buried in a hope chest. I hope you will too. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, I can't make it any plainer. Now I pray the Holy Spirit of God, who needs to come into our bodies if we rise to meet Jesus, shall speak to the hearts of the people. Move up and down these aisles and these stairways. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question. Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Have you been born again? Are you going to get buried in a hope chest? I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, if I'm in one of those boxes, Jesus doesn't come before I die, and I'm in one of those boxes, don't call it a coffin. Call it a hope chest. For I'm born again. The Spirit of God lives in me, and I'm going to heaven, and I know it." Raise your hand, would you please? All over the crowd. Keep your hands up. You may drop your hands. Now, would you be just as honest again? How many of you would say, "Brother Hiles, I'll confess tonight. I just make an honest confession, preacher. I don't know. I do not know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I do not know that I'll be buried in a hope chest, but I want to know. I want to know. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." On the main floor, raise your hand if you'd say, "Include me in this prayer. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Pray for me. Lift your hand on the main floor, way up high. Face it. Face it.